Hi, chào cô. How are you?
Chào Ken. Chào Ken. I'm fine. Thank you.
Glad
we are together today.
Yes, yes. So typically we speak Vietnamese with each other, but today we're going to speak English.
Okay.
Because of the project that we're on, and we talked about that before. So first of all, congratulations on all of the work that you've recently done, and seeing you on Sympathizer really, really is such an amazing thing.
Thank you. I would say I'm proud to be a part of this wonderful project, you know, from the big studio like HBO, A24, and Downey Jr. team. And especially I'm honored because of this is a book from a Vietnamese author that won the Pulitzer Prize. You know,
right.
And the cast, all the Vietnamese character are playing by Vietnamese.
Yeah.
So this is for the very first time that a Vietnamese story have breakthrough Hollywood.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And it's a really big book, a lot of concepts in this book.
Yeah.
Before you got on the project, did you kind of see yourself in the book somewhere?
Oh my God, this is funny, Ken. In 1916, when the book just got the Pulitzer Prize.
2016, right?
Yeah, yeah. 2016, I'm sorry, yeah, right. And the author, Viet Thanh Nguyen, have a reading. I went to his reading.
Oh.
Yeah, somewhere in Irvine, I think it was Irvine University or something. And then when he come out to the stage, he saw me, he recognized me in the audience. He said, oh my God, we have our Kiều Trinh, our actress Kiều Trinh in the audience. And then he raised his book. He said, I hope that if someday my book turned to the screen, Kiều Trinh must be in the story.
Wow.
But then we don't know, you know, we don't know that it will be on screen or not. So here I am.
What an amazing story, because it's like, you know, some of the things that we think in our minds, like especially Viet Thanh Nguyen and having you there, kind of materializes in ways that we've never see happen, right?
Right, right. Yeah. It was years back, you know.
Yeah, and there's hundreds of books that were written, you know, in the last 20 years, you know, in the Vietnamese experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you get the call for the project?
My agent sent me to the audition. I met director Park and producer Don McKellar. Yeah, and they asked me a few questions, you know, and then later they said that I'm sorry, we should not
audition
you,
right? Because
yes.
I'm gonna ask you about that. You know, at this point in your career, you've done so much. I mean, does it offend you when you have to audition?
No, nowadays, you know, I when I first arrived in America, I have been working in motion picture industry since 1957, Ken. In Vietnam, I never go for audition.
Right.
And I have been working all over in Southeast Asia, from Philippines to Singapore to Bangkok, Thailand, Hong Kong, even in India. I've been working all around Southeast Asia, Philippines. Never audition. People just
call you and
me,
sign you.
Push me directly.
Yeah.
And when I first come to America, then this is something new to me. But and then now I get used to, we have to go for audition. Yeah.
Right.
But some, even so, Ken, some they just ask me direct.
Right.
No audition.
Right.
If some project that the producer or casting director knows about
you.
Me, then they just offer me direct.
Right, right. Because I can't imagine, like, people, especially in the Vietnamese community, if they know of you, then there's no need to audition. They know exactly. But when you go out to like an Apple production or Hulu production and the team, or in Australia, you've shot recently in Australia, they don't know you. So I think that that audition process is important, right?
Yeah, even in Australia, I just finished a feature in Australia during the time that we have a strike in Hollywood. I didn't audition for that. They just invite me to write. And my last work here with Apple, again, they asked me to write.
Right, right. No need for that audition.
No
process.
Audition. And I just finished another feature for Hulu. Direct approach. No audition at all.
Yeah. What do you think is the key to your longevity in the business? Because you really have a really wide track record, long track record that keeps going. You're so busy with life and your work. What is the key to this?
I have to say thanks to somebody up there, gave me the strength, the health, that I keep continue, you know, be able to work. And never in my life before can that I'm busy like this. Since the last 2 years, I've been working continuously. By the end fall of 2022, I start the sympathizer in Los Angeles, and then flew to Thailand to finish the three last episodes in Thailand. In the middle of working in Thailand, I received an offer from Apple. The movie, another miniseries for Apple called Sinking Spring, by producer director Sir Ridley Scott and Peter Craig, and no audition. Just Peter Craig sent me an email.
Right.
He sent me direct, not through my agent. Sent me an email, invite me direct. After the wrap in Singapore for sympathizer, I flew direct from Singapore to Philadelphia, from set to set, working on the next day. And when Sinking Spring have 8 episodes, when we are at number 4, then Hollywood have a strike. We have to stop. During the time that not working here, I was invited to Australia to film a feature there from this movie called The Eye. My Eye, yeah. I was there for 4 weeks.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, by the time I get back, the strike is over. And continue to shoot Sinking Spring. And in the middle of the shooting, the last episode of Sinking Spring, I was invited for another feature for Hulu called Control Freak. So as soon as I finished the last episode for Sinking Spring, I flew direct from Philadelphia to Kentucky to shoot Control Freak.
You know, it's like a lot of the listeners and the audience members are a little bit younger than me, but I know that their parents are a little older, a little bit. And I think that a lot of people at a certain age, they feel like they're old. You know, they feel like they can't do much more in the world. You are the most busy you've ever been. And I'm wondering, of course, talent and looks that God gave you is aside. Let's put that aside. There's got to be other things. Hard work, kindness. What do you think is really the kind of the driver of you constantly being busy?
Well, I am very passionate with my work. Yeah. A friend called me that I'm married to my work. I love, if you love your craft, then, you know, you have to work hard on that. And I work hard. I work very hard.
You do.
And I love what I'm doing. And why not? I have no other way that if I keep being asking for, or, I mean, they're still looking for me, then here I am. I'm still working.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I mean, we all stand out on the sidelines and look in and go, this is amazing. Because it seems like you're traveling by yourself to all of these places too, or... Right?
Yes.
Because you shoot all these images of you at the airport and, okay, time to travel again. We see it, you know. We all can see that you're on the road again, but it seems like you're not traveling with, you know, a handler or anything. You're oftentimes you're on the airplanes by yourself.
Yes. So, all the way on the road again.
Yeah, and, on the road again. And it seems like that takes a lot of energy.
Around the world, yes.
Yeah. It's amazing. So now let's get into the sympathizer. You know, when you got the call and you land on set, I can imagine, obviously your Vietnamese speaking is perfect, but as you're kind of seeing the different levels of Vietnamese being spoken on set, you know, how does that put you in your position? Does that put you in a tough spot to act with somebody who is not speaking Vietnamese at a certain level? What's your thoughts on that, going through it?
I'm very happy to have the opportunity to work with Robert Downey Jr. and Sandra Oh, and the rest of the cast are Vietnamese. I'm so happy to see the young generation in the project.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It gave me a lot of hope for the future of the young generation. And besides, this project is a kind of breakthrough to Hollywood about Vietnamese community. This is the first time that we have a miniseries on TV. You know, like other community, you know, the Chinese, the Philippine, whoever, they have their own show. And this is the first time for Vietnamese. And I'm glad and I'm proud to be part of that. And I see that the young generation, the actors, they are
fantastic.
Fantastic. Hua.
Hua is amazing.
Amazing, you know.
Amazing actor.
They're so talented. And so I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, it's amazing. Hua is such a... Just where did he come from, right?
he would be a big star.
Star.
I'm so proud to see, for the first time, this is make history. You see the billboard
on Sunset.
My God, huge building. And the billboard is a half side of the building. From far away, you see the sympathizer.
Yeah.
And the proud of that is you see a Vietnamese leading man face on the billboard. Next to Robert Downey Jr., Sandra Oh, and then Viet Thanh Nguyen, Pulitzer Prize novel. You know, everything that make us so proud.
Right. It is phenomenal to drive through Sunset. I saw it. I saw it a week ago driving on Sunset. I saw the billboard. It's massive.
Yeah.
It's a massive piece.
Yes, this is history.
Yeah.
History. I hope that this is... not hope, but I think this is about time. You know, it's about time that the Vietnamese story should be told. By the way, next year is the anniversary of 50 years of Vietnam War over, 50 years the presence of the Vietnamese community in the United States and around the world. And so it's about time. Beside war, there's so much to talk about, you know. I hope that Vietnam story should be told not only about war.
Right.
Because even in war, we have life, we have love, we have arts, we have culture. There's so much to talk about, to share. That, so I hope that
there's a lot more things.
A lot of things.
A lot more projects can be.
A lot of projects will be happen. Don't have to talk about the war only.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, a lot of us are moving away from that.
Yeah.
But speaking of the sympathizer and this particular project, you and I and a lot of us are really always trying to kind of like walk a fine line about, you know, politics and the way things are viewed in this community, that community, all over. What's your process when you... go into a role with a book like The Sympathizer? It's there's political views on this book all over the place. And where do you find yourself in terms of answering to different communities? Do you have to think about that as you accept a role like this?
Well, Ken, this is a very difficult question and answer.
Yes. I hope you can, yeah.
Yeah, I went through a lot about that, especially when episode one, episode two have shown. I received tons of call, email, text, ask questions, some like it, some don't like it. As you see the story focused on male character. They are general, officers, soldiers, all the leading are male. In the story, female only playing supporting to the male character. For my part, I play a mother of a major. My character is small, you know, like I mentioned, just a supporting to the male character. The character I play, a refugee, she feel lonely in this new land and she feel homesick. And it's just a small part. But anyway, talking about after the movie have shown, then many people not agree about this, about that. And some people say, wow, my God, this is great. You know, this is great. The first time you see that the Vietnamese story have breakthrough Hollywood and the Vietnamese playing Vietnamese and the story written by Vietnamese, something like that.
Yeah.
And the other side is not agree
right.
about the story should be like that, should be like that. And why? And so many questions, why like that?
Right, right.
And so, my answer, they asked me, my answer is said that I'm not the writer, and I'm not the producer, I'm not the director. I came to the project as an actor. Yes, as a Vietnamese, we all have the feeling about what they talk about our culture, our people, and our country. And everybody feel that this is a free country. Everybody have the right to talk,
right.
Have the right to express their opinion,
right.
Their feeling. So this is a lot.
It's a good answer. But do you ever feel that sometimes the comments are, it's necessary to respond, or sometimes do we have to? And I ask because I want to know myself. Do I need to respond to every thing that comes in, or are these people that are close to you in the business or close friends of yours?
Yeah, some people that they know me, they text to me, and so I try to say that HBO and this project are not making a documentary.
Right.
This is not documentary.
Fiction. Fictionalized characters.
Yeah. From the novel to from the book to the screen.
Right.
This is fiction.
Not a documentary.
Yeah, not a documentary. Mm-hmm. So the characters are fiction.
Right.
But, you know, some still feel that
it has to be
real.
Real.
Mm-hmm. Have to be that way. So I'm trying to say that this is fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, Viet Thanh Nguyen has said it many, you know, he says, if I'm not making both sides upset, I'm not doing my job. Mm-hmm. I'm paraphrasing. He said it, you know, in order to kind of have these thoughts and really tell the truth, you kind of have to show both sides. And oftentimes, both sides get upset at the things that you're trying to point out.
Yeah. So to me, the author Viet Thanh Nguyen have explained his opinion, his feeling, and well, of course he wrote the book,
right?
And the production as well. They say that this is not a documentary.
Yeah. This episode is brought to you by Red Boat Fish Sauce. I love cooking with Red Boat because it's made with only two ingredients: wild caught anchovies and sea salt. This premium fish sauce is made in Phu Quoc, Vietnam, and bottled right here in California. You can find Red Boat at select Asian supermarkets
like 99 Ranch, H Mart, and Tung Fak.
So,
you know, and Viet just came on the podcast. We just talked about having Park Chan-wook as a director that he dreamt of having. Mm-hmm. It was a dream come true to have that level of a director. What was it like working with the director?
He is a genius.
I've heard that before.
Of course, he's very talented. He won. I have seen some of his movie that have award, like Old Boy, yeah. And the last one, I forgot the name now. The last one, a very interesting movie. It's shown last year at the Asian World Film Festival. I saw it. He is.
What makes him a genius? Why do you say that?
He has a very deep feeling. He has a grand vision and deep feeling for the story, for character, and the vision of the whole thing.
And how does that play out in working with somebody like that?
I see that. I've seen his movie before. I see his vision. And when he talked to me once, he said that, Kyu-ching, some people say that the movie should be directed by Vietnamese.
Yeah.
And I feel, he said something like, he doesn't speak English.
English, right.
Yeah, he
has to work through an interpreter.
I worked through his interpreter. So he explained that director Park feel that he have deep feeling for this story because it's similar to his country, Korea. Korea also divided into two parts, North and South, and refugees and exile. So he feel so deep and can feel so close to him. And that's how he loved the project very much. And I like working with him, you know, for such a, beside how brilliant he is at work, and he is, you know, such a gentleman.
And that inability, that lack of being able to speak English and working through a translator, how does that work for you? Is there any sort of, you know, maybe he wanted this way and, you know, the interpreter is not getting it right from his Korean mind, getting it into English and then to you. How does
In the first day, I feel a little bit difficult, you know, but and then I got used to, he has a way that we look straight into each other's eyes and it's strange, you know, you look into somebody's eyes and face and you hear somebody else's voice. Up here, wow. You know, it's difficult, but and then I get used to. And he has a way to explain it so that you can communicate it so easy. I've been working like that before. I'm working on Broadway, the show here, Sancho the Bailiff. I've been working with the most famous stage director, Andres Vida. The most famous stage director of the world. He doesn't speak English.
You had to work through an interpreter.
I had to work through the interpreter.
So this is not your first time. Yeah.
So this is not my first time.
Yeah, because I kept imagining that. Like, what is it like when somebody doesn't speak English, speaks to a whole team of Americans? And what kind of, like, is he getting his thoughts clearly to the actors? Because that's a big deal.
Yeah, because of the actor yourself, you have to study your own character. You have your feeling
right.
For that character. Now you only listen to the director to show you the way, which way he has. So it's easy to, you know, turn a little bit angle, turn the angle into, you know, into his direction to me.
Makes sense, yeah. So once you fully understand what the character needs, he's just adjusting a little bit.
Voila, yeah. You notice, you know the scene, you know that character, and you study from your own point of view already, and then now combine with the directing of the director.
What were some of the most fun or memorable or happy times on that set that you got to experience?
My character is a kind of drama. And the most memorable scene for me is the evacuation scene at the airport. The scene that people running to the plane. It remind me of my own experiences of my life. So that whole night shooting, I feel so sad. It flashback everything that I have went through. So it's like I don't have to act. It's kind of relive the situation, what I have went through. Only the time changing and the ages changing, because I have went through airport evacuation twice in my life. Oh. First time when I was younger, 15 years old, left north to south by myself. I became refugee within my own country. And then the second time, left my country, left Saigon, got out of the country. So the two big airport scene experiences of evacuation.
And did you get to share that with the director or producers, how it actually happened?
I briefly talked to them about that, yes.
And was that the shot in the first episode that we see in the back of the airplane leaving? Is that the one you're talking about, or is that something later that we see?
That is the one. I don't know how they edited. They might have some more in the next episode.
But you're talking about episode one.
Yeah.
Okay. And I really wanted to ask somebody, was that shot like on an airport tarmac, or was it inside of a studio?
That is the real airport. Yeah. They were able to use, I think, they call the private Royal airport. They were able, they were able to have permit to shoot the scene at Royal Airport.
So that wasn't in a studio?
No.
The back of that airplane leaving was in...
Yes, sir. That is at the airport.
And was the airplane ever moving?
Not moving because the scene cut it there.
Yeah, because you could see like the airport's like, you know, the airplane's moving and you're in the back of it with your son, and it's crazy. And I was like, how did they shoot this? Is it green screen? Is it
not green screen. It's a real airport. Real airport.
And what city was that in?
In Thailand.
In Thailand.
In Thailand, I remember we enter the private airport.
Yeah.
It's not as big at Bangkok airport, but it is.
And is it a working airport? Like other airplanes are coming in and out, or is it just used for...
No, it's not coming in and out.
Just used for shooting.
Yeah, the time we're shooting is just for us.
Amazing. Yeah, I mean, and the way they shot it, the way the director portrayed it, it's just so much energy.
I know. The way his vision about that, you know, thousand of extra, the plane, the explosion, you know, it's just amazing.
So all those people are really people that were around that?
And
it's not in computer graphics or anything?
No, it's real people. God. It's real people. And I was there. Real me.
Well, what other experiences? Let's talk about Thailand. I mean, what was that like shooting in Thailand for you?
I like working in Thailand. This is not my first time.
Yeah.
I've been working there.
Since a long time ago.
I've been working there, I think, more than five movies, you know. I've been working there quite a lot.
Yeah. It seems like such an amazing... I hope everybody gets a chance to see it, because, you know, it's the production value is very high, and the money that HBO spent is probably a lot of money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember the airport scene, you know, it's so huge, and so many trucks with all the equipment, and the fan and the light and, you know, huge. It's huge there.
Yeah, and you can see it and feel it on screen. Well, was there ever a time that you worked on this particular production with the sympathizer where you had to speak up about, you know, maybe something culturally that wasn't accurate and you had to speak up? You know, Jenny Chang Lei is one of my partners at East Films, and we talk about, you know, she's a cultural consultant, so that was her job. Mm-hmm. But your job on the set was to act. But did you at any point have to say, hey, you know, like, this is not too accurate, and you have to, you know, contribute to the vision?
You know, Ken, on set, the director are very busy. Very busy. You cannot disturb them.
Right.
You cannot. Even in Thailand, we're working on the street. You know, when I see something, it's not very something that I should speak up. But you have no time. They are so busy, and they sit private in a tent or in somewhere, because of their job are very hard working job. Yeah. You cannot be disturbed. You know, and. Besides, they have consultant, so that is consultant job, not actor job. You cannot.
I love your answer because it just shows how much you understand the order, the hierarchy inside of a film set. It's like the military.
You know, you cannot just come, hey director, I don't see this. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. You know, and you can't disturbing them. There's hundred of things in their head that they have to, you know, hundred of things. You cannot be disturbed. And that's why they have consultant. That's why the consultant's there for.
Right. And sometimes even the consultants, I heard, it's you can't turn it around quick enough when you see something because it's so many steps to get something corrected or something put into place. It takes a lot of work and up the chain.
Yeah.
And you know, I think it's a for the audience that are watching The Sympathizer right now to kind of understand that there's all of these moving parts that happens on a movie set. That it's not like we're saying forgive the production because, you know, but at the same time, there's so many things that to worry about when they're making something like this that it's hard to get everything perfect.
And you have to understand the audience. You have to understand that so many different departments working on the set. You know, the light department, the costume department, the set department. Where do you want this statue would be? Where do you want this book would be? Or I want, you know, especially the scene we shot that the evacuation bus passed by on the street. And on the street, there's so many shoes and thing like that. So how many department needed. Coordinated
right
with a little thing like that, little thing like that, and so you cannot be disturbed. You have to concentrate it on your own
work,
and you have to even when I'm on set, I don't want to be disturbed.
Right, you need to focus.
Yeah, because I'm concentrated on my own character, and I cannot talk to anybody. You come, I cannot. And I remember once somebody was angry with me because they keep sitting next to me and keep talking about, oh, I admire you so much. Remember the time I met you in Saigon Market? They're talking about the pet, and I said, at first I say yeah, and then they keep talking. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I cannot carry on conversation. I had to memorize my line. If my head is, you know, away from my line, I cannot control. So you have to understand that even one individual, one actor, can you imagine the director? They have hundreds of actors working for him, and hundreds of other people, different department working for him. And not anybody would come and ask him the question. No.
You know, when I have seen Robert Downey Jr. throughout the years on screen, I understand that there's an enormous amount of talent behind it. But working with him, like being there, what other magic does he bring to the project?
Well, Robert is amazing. Of course, we not talk about his talent, brilliant talent. Not, but he has an amazing attitude, you know, friendly, caring, warm, and charming.
Yeah.
Very charming. But also, as a big actor like him, very difficult to approach him on the set as well. He always have bodyguard.
Entourage.
And a private room, a private tent, a private corner. So only meet him when we come together to work together.
Right.
And that, when the moment come together, is the moment we have to work. It's not chatting.
Right,
it's
right.
not
getting personal.
Yeah, not personal conversation. No. And you have to respect the other actor too. And they are concentrated on their line, and you are concentrated on your own line. And, you know, so you should not distract the feeling of each other.
I think these little things that you're sharing with me and describing to me is why people keep calling you back. Because there is a certain invisible order that happens on set.
Yeah.
On professional working relationships in Hollywood, there's specific ways of being that if you continue to be that way, you get welcome back on different projects. Gyuchin is very here. Gyuchin is very professional. It's just you kind of know what needs to happen. And being able to share this with us today is like such an important thing, because the young actors coming up kind of have to understand that there's a way of life on set.
I through my own experiences, what I don't want to be disturbing, I would see that my partner would need the same thing, you know. And I'm not good with how to say that. Keep memorize my lines, especially as you know, I am a Vietnamese, so speaking English and acting in English is 10 times harder to work on your native language. So sometimes you have to memorize the line, you have to speak as perfect as
it was written.
The written or the director aspect. So it is make. I am, even after 68 years of working, I'm still very nervous in front of camera. Oh. I am. Each time. I'm nervous because of, I know that I have to well prepare. I know that I have to do it. And I don't want the director to say, nope. Take two, no, take 10. You know, that's difficult.
Yeah.
Very difficult. I don't want that. So, and that's why I have to work 10 times harder to get there. I remember when I worked in the movie The Joy Luck Club, there was a very difficult scene that Swan, the mother, Swan Mi, left the twin babies in China.
Yeah.
Very difficult scene, and I have to concentrate it so hard, the feeling, and I have to relive what happened to me when I had been abandoned by my father at the last time. Only the time changing now that I've been abandoned when I was a child, a young girl, but now I am a mother abandoning my child, my children. So I have to concentrate the feeling from the voice to the face, to the eyes, to the, you know, the body languages combined. And when I shot that scene, it's very difficult because director Wang want the perfect lighting streamed down early in the morning. The light, the first ray of light coming to that spot, you have to do it right away. Otherwise, the light would moving, changing. Right. Then he would lose that.
Right.
And hundreds of people around waiting for that.
The pressure of that.
Yeah, it's very pressure. You are under pressure. If you don't do it right, then you would lose the light. You would lose a whole day of work. So it had to be very concentrated. And I remember when director Wayne told me that I will not call action. Camera is ready. You act when you are ready. You act when you see the light coming down to your face on your own. So I have to do the whole scene by myself. When I asked him, are there any way that you want me to act? He said, nope.
No, just be you.
Just be yourself. Do your own. So I concentrated, closed my eye, concentrated. And when I open my eye, I see the ray of sun coming down, and then I act. After that, I feel a hand on my shoulder. That's Wayne's hand, director hand. He did not say action or cut. So I turn around and I ask him another take. He said, no, cannot be better. So just one scene like that.
This is what we're talking about, right?
That is the scene. That is the scene. That is the scene. Yeah. So it you know, work like that. You know, so you not only help yourself, but you help the whole
set.
Crew,
yeah,
the set.
Whole set.
Yeah.
You know, this idea of becoming the character. In Vietnamese, the only way I can describe it is Tao Hai Nhập Ma, right? You have to become that character. You have to get inside of it. Do you ever have to find yourself after, let's say, a few weeks on set being that character as the main character, that you have to find a way to get out of character? Or are you the type of person who can get out of it very quickly after work is done?
It depends on the story, Ken. If the story is close to the reality, goes close to life, then yes. For example, scene like that in the Joy Luck Club, it take me days to get out of my character because of I relive with my what happened to my own life. I miss my father, I miss my country, and you know, and I keep thinking about that.
Yeah, you have to, right? You have to keep
to.
Thinking about it, obsessing
keep
over it.
Yeah, thinking about that. You suck into that.
Yeah.
You know, same thing in Sympathizer, the evacuation scene. When
reliving
I see that, I relive that. And also another scene in the Sympathizer, the scene that I was in the bus, leaving
yeah,
the
I
country.
Remember. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the bus stop at the place that the general say goodbye.
Salute, with the statue.
To the goodbye to one person
one
who
committed suicide,
one officer who committed suicide. So, and I was sitting in the bus lookout, and the eye, the look, the expression at that moment is not like acting at all. It's just like you see the whole vision of exactly how it happened. In real life. And how can you get out just like that? No. You're not a machine.
Mm.
You're not turned on and off. You're sucking into that. And it takes time
to get out.
To get out of that. But that is only for important scene like that. But other,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
In and out.
In and out.
Mm-hmm.
Easy.
Thank you for sharing that with me. I always wonder, you know, how much, you know, actors have to kind of like really be into it. And but it makes sense. It's not all of them that are like that.
Yeah.
Some are good.
Not all. It depends. That's what I said. Depend on the story. Yeah. Depend on your character. You know, yeah. The character is important character. The scene is heavy. The story is true. And then that's different.
I like that. Every Sunday, we get to see the new episodes. I look forward to spending more time every Sunday watching, you know, as the episodes unfold. I'd like to talk to you about what projects that you could share with me about the near future.
Of this?
No, your new future. Outside of the Sympathizer, yeah.
Oh, I see. Like I mentioned earlier, Ken, that as soon as I wrap with Sympathizer, I was offered from a project from Apple TV, The Sinking Spring. So I flew direct from Thailand to Philadelphia to work on Sinking Spring.
When does that come out?
Sometime this fall, something for. And I was so honored to work in that big production as well. The showrunner, the writer, the director, Peter Craig, is amazing, amazing. I'm so happy that I was able to have the opportunity to work for him. Such a beautiful human being, such a caring, and such a humble person. Besides, I'm not talking about his talent, you know. He's too great already. So, you know, make your life feel much better.
Yeah.
That more than just work.
Right.
That your life getting into another connection with another beautiful human being. Make your life feel richer, you know, better.
You know, I brought up Jenny Chang Lei earlier. I was driving down here to Orange County from LA. We were having a conversation about that. The journey of making a movie or a TV show together sometimes is more important than the actual product that comes out as human beings.
Yes.
It's, I mean, not greater than, but it's just as important as the final product.
Yeah.
Because if you didn't have a good working time on a project, it doesn't feel good and you don't deliver the best that you can, right?
Yes. I have been working in more than 100 projects from Vietnam to all over in Southeast Asia and here in Hollywood. For example, in Vietnam, I have my own movie company, and my first movies that I produced was The Warrior Who Are You?
Yeah.
With director Hoàng Vĩnh Lộc. Now, he became my best friend, and the actors of the show became my best friend until now. Look at them. Until now, we still communicated. We treat each other like
family.
Like family. And Hoàng Vĩnh Lộc, to me, is the best director that I have worked with. And the actors, we just like family.
Yeah.
And their children call me, mom, and even actor Min Jung Sun, he gave his youngest daughter my name.
Oh.
He named his daughter Jing.
Wow.
You know, so we love each other like that. You know, we have such a close relationship like that. And you feel so grateful to be able to work with somebody that you have a better relationship than just work.
This business is all about those types of relationships.
Yes.
Yeah, all about it. Tony Bui, Tim Bui gave me that opportunity in the late 90s.
Mm.
And I will never forget that. It was me, Stefan, all these guys that were given a chance to work on their sets, work on their films. And you're right. You know, today Tim and I are working on another project together, and it's so special to, you know, have these long-term relationships that we can
do projects on. Just, it's not like work and you finish, you turn away.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's family. Goy, thank you so much today for allowing me here in your house and spending this time.
Thank you for having me, Ken.
Yeah.
Thank
you. It's always so wonderful to see you at the events and hang out with you, and, you know, and having you on the podcast is such an honor.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I am very lucky to be able to stay in the industry this long. And I look at the young generation. It gave me so much hope that for the future of the industry, and I know that their road, their journey would be much easier than the road I have went through.
Absolutely.
You know, because I've grown up in the war, working during the war time, the situation, the separation, the you know, there's so much different drama, and languages changed, and culture changed. You know, not like a young generation nowadays.
Yeah.
They grown up from here, they went to school, they speak perfect English, and they grown up, they adapted to the mainstream, the culture, everything is much easier.
Right.
Yeah. But I have to say thanks to somebody up there, thanks to the industry, have given me the opportunity until today. Yes.
Thank you, Go. Thank you for everything.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you for listening to The Vietnamese with Kenneth Nguyen. Special thanks to Brittany Tran, to Jane Nguyen, Catherine Nguyen, Tina Pham, Sydney Jamie, and Christo Trinh. Please find us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at The Vietnamese Podcast.